Now, if you look in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, it says, Jesus had been made unto us sanctification, wisdom, sanctification, righteousness, and redemption. Jesus had been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Notice the last one is redemption. Jesus is not made our redemption until after we've been sanctified. No, that's kind of contradictory to the concept of being born again. Because we are born again, we call him Lord when he's not our Lord. We call things that be not as though they are, and he becomes our Lord. True? Then sanctification begins. So if being born again was the only requirement to hear his voice and be caught up, then sanctification could not precede redemption. Does that make sense? Very logical, okay? If I lost you, get a recording and go over it. Sanctification is being set aside for the Lord, holy unto the Lord. Coming out of them, be not unequally yoked. All this is part of sanctification. When we move into sanctification, okay? Well, first of all, Jesus is the wisdom. Before we get Jesus, we are just ignorant. Wisdom starts with Jesus. And the first step in wisdom is to be sanctified. Now, when he becomes our wisdom, he also becomes our righteousness. And as we work the righteousness out of us, if we start to do something, the righteousness in us becomes sanctification. And once you're sanctified, then you can be redeemed. Spirit, heart, soul, mind, body, words, and works. Only the redeemed shall hear his voice. Those have gone through the process of separating themselves unto the Lord and being fully redeemed, which the Bible calls the church without spot or wrinkle, the glorious church, which is called the manifested sons of God. We're born again, but we need to manifest the fact that we're born again through the fact that Jesus is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. So we are approximately halfway through graduate school right now. And so far, we've focused on understanding that it's all about kingdoms. That we are left here as kings of this kingdom. And as we continue to remain as kings in this kingdom, the kingdom of God, then the kingdom of God, we who have chosen to be part of the army to render Satan the footstool of Jesus and to bring the kingdom back, so that in Revelation 11:15 it said the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. To do that, we need to prosper in these ending days. We need to understand prosperity. Not just financial prosperity, but all prosperity. But financial prosperity is very, very important. Ask Pastor Peter. He spent 40 years working with 170 acres to prepare it as a sanctuary for when the really terrible times are coming upon the earth. For those Christians, it's in a sense like a Joseph ministry that he's preparing for those who have not yet begun to realize what they have to go through because they have been victimized by the myth that you're born again and as part of your birthright, you're going to be raptured out of here before the tribulation, before there are any challenges. Well, you are born again. It is part of your birthright. Just like you're born again, and total health and healing is your birthright. You're born again. All the wealth That belongs to God, belongs to you. But they don't fall on you like cherries off an apple tree. Okay? I'm just trying to see how many people are awake. It's still quite early. Okay? Some of you still haven't got it yet, right? That's what's really funny. Huh? That's what is really funny. Okay. Well, whatever. Whatever, okay? If you sit around waiting for cherries to fall off the apple tree, if you sit around waiting for cherries to fall off the apple tree, it's not going to happen. It's not even going to fall off the cherry tree. We have to do something about it. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Do you believe that God is going to be pleased when his family rises up to meet Jesus when he returns? Probably there are not many things that would please him more than to see his family rise up to meet the King of Kings and usher the conquering hero back into the city. That's what the word meet means. The word meet. To meet him in the clouds. It means go out and meet the conquering hero and bring him back into the city. Oh, he'd be very pleased by it. Well then, how can you please them without faith? What is the faith of sitting around twiddling your thumb thinking, I'm under grace, I don't have to do anything, and one day the Lord is going to beam me out of here before things get bad? Is there faith in that? No. I don't see the faith in that. I see the disaster in it. So, that's why the song, Only the Redeemed, to me, is like a theme song for this. Okay? So, today we're going to start more on the details. We've been looking at a very high level. Now for a period, we're going to look at details, and then we're going to go back up near the end to a higher level near the ending days. So, today's teaching is called Breaking the Curse of Poverty. When Adam sinned, God declared that there was a curse on the earth, and Adam would eat of it in sorrow all the days of his life. Genesis 3:17. But after the flood had cleansed the earth, Noah offered to God burnt offerings of every clean beast, and God said, I will not again curse the earth anymore for man's sake. But the curse continues on the earth today because of sin. And why it continues is that Satan is defeated, but the people in their lives and the church as a whole don't fully seem to comprehend that. And we still elevate Satan up to be the God of our life. To understand what I'm teaching today, you need to clearly understand that the Bible is Bible occurring, the revelation of God on earth through his people occur in stages, and one way of calling that are ages. And today we're going to look at three simple ages. Pre-law, before the law was given by Moses. Post-law, which is under grace. We're just going to look at those three pieces. We have a teaching, if you're interested, we have a teaching called Bible Ages, which is about Bible ages. Okay? So, pre-law was from Adam to Moses. Romans 5:13 and 14 says, For unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed. Sin is not assigned to you. Sin is not attributed to you. You don't, okay? God doesn't see you as sinning when there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Death is not as just, as merciful as God. And the wages of sin is death. So even if God doesn't see the people as sinning, death does, and they die. So death reigned from Adam to Moses. Now that tells you that after Moses, death didn't reign anymore. Isn't that what the English says? So after Moses, what reigned? The law reigned. But because people couldn't keep the law, death sneaked in. But the reign of death stopped at Moses. So the law came to teach us so we could come under grace. So if grace is the answer to the law, and the law is the answer to death, why in the world would people think they have to die on the grace? The Bible is just very logical. Death reigned until Moses. Death no longer reigns. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, about verse 15, it says, death has been abolished. God has not given you a spirit of fear. Verse 10. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And when you have a spirit of power, how can anything kill you? That's why it goes on to say, and death has been abolished. So the curse, the time frame is before Moses. Many people say, well, tithing is under the law. That's because they haven't stopped to consider what they're saying. Or they haven't read the Bible carefully. Or they haven't asked God for revelation knowledge. The curse. Curse is a ground for your sake. In sorrow you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Well, that's a curse. This is way before the law. This curse is way before the law. Now, there's a curse on the earth. What is the cure for that curse? Malachi 3:8. Let's please turn in your Bibles to Malachi. You should all know it by now, but it's the last book before Matthew. Malachi 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Boy, that's a heavy statement. Who believes in the eternal God, the Creator, especially when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, how could you possibly want to rob God? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Notice, it's not just tithes, but tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. Why you're cursed with a curse? Because you have robbed God. It's a sin. Robbing God is a sin. Don't you think so? I think so. Robbing God is a sin. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, the whole nation. Let's put a mark here and we'll come back to that. Okay? So, we see the ground is cursed and the people are cursed if they don't tithe and give offerings. We know the curse still exists today. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people would humble themselves, okay, and fast and pray, then I'd hear their voice and reach down from heaven and heal their land. Heal their land. That means the land needs healing. It's hard to go outside and look around and don't understand the land needs healing. This is a terrible place, a terrible world. Yes, you can find little nooks in here where you're having fun and things are nice and so forth for a period of time. But if you look out the window of where you are, you can see evil happening, animals in pain, people losing their children, children losing their parents. It's an absolutely disgusting, terrible, painful world that's out there. And God wants us to change it. He wants us to change it. Understand that? You and I are children of the Most High God. We're not babies in the family of God. We have grown up. We have been given the tools. We know what we're supposed to do. And we have authority and dominion over the earth. Not just that we can sit back and call in good things to ourselves, but so we can change the earth and change the world. Romans 8, 19 and 23 says, all of creation waits for the manifestation of the Son of God. The whole world, in fact, probably the whole universe, is waiting for us to grow up. And the time to grow up is now. The time to grow up is now. So there is a period of time where there were curses before the law. then their curses, and the remedy. In Genesis 4, it tells us that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. They brought unto him a tithe, a first offering, first fruit offering. And he did not respect the offering from Cain because it came out of the ground. And he had just finished saying in the previous chapter. So I guess Cain didn't read the chapter. But surely his father told him, the earth is cursed. He's bringing off a cursed thing, an offering to a holy God. And that doesn't work very well. And that's why all the tithes and offerings that go into 501c3 corporation don't work that well. Because it's a cursed tithe and a cursed offering. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, they have a teaching called Living in God's Glory During the Ending Days. And the last one, which I believe is part 4, is all about what I just said. One whole teaching on what I just said. So he brought a cursed offering to God, and God didn't appreciate it. So he ended up killing Abel. And we see, for the first time, that proper tithing and improper tithing have significantly different effects. What we're seeing in here is that the life is in the blood. And though the earth was cursed, and though everything that we have comes out of the earth, therefore anything you brought to God would have been cursed, except the life. And the life is in the blood. And that's what he did. He offered life to God, just as God offered life by taking the skins of animals and making coats for Adam. Abel brought life to God and was pleasing to God. And today God wants you and I to bring our lives to him and present our bodies as living sacrifices to him. Okay, let's continue Malachi. Malachi 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into my storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me. It says, prove me, test me. Only place in the Bible where God says, test me. Prove me now, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that you do not have room enough to store it. There is the cure, the remedy for the curse that's on the earth. But it goes on more than that. Not only does it cure the curse on the earth, it makes God a partner in your life. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, that he should not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your wine cast their fruit before the time, said the Lord of hosts. God will protect you and everything pertaining to you. I remember when one ABCer, her daughter, had a fall and was near death with a brain injury. And she had the revelation of the fact that she was a tither. And she went before God and said, God, I'm a tither. And here's what your word says. No, God, you go heal my daughter. For that's your word. And the doctor told her later, another 20 minutes, and she'd have been dead. She came back better than she was before. Physically. And God also blessed her financially. Let me tell you, when challenges come up in your life, up in your family, up in your health, there's a lot of power, a lot of confidence in knowing you're a tither. and you're tithing the way God wants you to tithe, and tithing where God wants you to tithe. So a lot of confidence going through life every day, knowing that God is your partner, and He'll protect you and everything pertinent to you. So the benefits, I think we just covered them. The benefits. So there's a curse upon the earth. The curse was there long before the law. And the curse is still here today. Does it have to be cursed for you? No. Because we are born again. We're not accepting Satan as the God of our earth. I remember Charles Capps, when there was a cold spell that came over the south, and all the farms that were on, cotton farms, all the plants died, were damaged. And he walked around his cotton fields, and he commanded, I'm a tither, corn, and all the corn, not corn, cotton, all the cotton are bent over, they all look dead, and he walked around the field commanding them, I'm a tither, come back, live, and suddenly a pop, and pop, the cotton things are opening. All over, the whole thing opened up. I remember when I had a plant, and all the leaves fell off, the plant looked like it was dying, and I said, Lord, your word says, my tree will not lose its fruit. And I end up with a tree, all fruits, and no leaves. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? Let's go on to part B. Curses under the law. Now we come to the law. John 1:17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Okay? Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, the law was given as a taskmaster to show the people that they could not do it on their own. They needed a savior. So death no longer reigned. The law reigned. And if you look at Elijah was living under the law, but he's the example of living by the Spirit. So Elijah living by the Spirit under the law overcame death because death no longer reigned. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want to start in verse 15. We're looking at the curse. This is the curse under the law, curse under the law of disobedience. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments, and his statutes which I command this day, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Curses shall chase you down and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your shore. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of the sheep. And the curses go on all the way over. Keep going, keep turning the pages until you get to verse 61. And verse 61 says, after all these pages of curses, it gets to verse 61 and says, and every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring up of thee until thou be destroyed. In other words, if you live by the law, you can't keep it, so you will be destroyed. If you live before the law, death reigned. If you live under the law, you can't keep it. You will die. This is why almost everybody on earth today expects to die. Because they're living under the law. Even the Christians, to a great extent, are living under the law. You know a lot of Christians. How many of them are truly trying to live by faith? How many of them even know that faith is important? it until they be destroyed, right? Okay. Now, what's the remedy? In Deuteronomy 15, verses 5 and 6, it says, if you hearken and do the commandments of God, then God will raise up above the nations of the earth and will prosper you. Okay? That's an abbreviation of what he said. The expression hearken and do, is used as an expression, both words in the same verse, 17 times in the Old Testament. 17 times it says hearken and do. Jesus puts it this way. It says, if you hear my words and you do them, then you're building your house upon a rock, not upon sand. Hearken and do. So, the remedy under the law is to hearken and do. Obviously, Elijah did it. Moses did very well until he got angry. You can't blame him. These people were murmuring and complaining all the time. One of the worst sins is to murmur and to complain. It says they murmured and complained that about 3,000 died in one day. Murmuring and complaining is turning your tongue over to the enemy. That's why we affirm in the name of Jesus, God has made the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart pleasing to him. That's one of the reasons why we urge people to confess your sins frequently. Because when people are murmuring and complaining, they don't know they're murmuring and complaining most of the time. It's so automatic. You know, if the tank of water is full of dirty water and you turn it on, dirty water comes out. True? When you've been murmuring and complaining all your life, you don't know murmuring and complaining are coming out. Somebody has to tell you. Most people don't like confrontation, so they won't tell you. They may love you, but they won't tell you. First Samuel 15:22 says, to obey is better than sacrifice. So the remedy under the law is obedience. For Isaiah 1 verse 19, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good or the fat of the land. If you're willing and obedient. Still true today. These are all still true today. The scriptures were not canceled. Grace does not do away with the requirement for being obedient. Now, it's hard to touch up on some of these things, but going into it a little bit. No, it is true that if you have grace and you are disobedient, you're still saved, you're still born again. So if you view that perspective, then you go to heaven. But that's just a starting point. And even though you're under grace and you're not saved by works, you don't go to heaven because of works, you're meant to be obedient to God. And then when you fall short of obedience, grace is there to wipe the slate clean. The process, being born again is not an ending. It is a beginning. Okay? It is the beginning. Now if you think getting into heaven is all there is and that's all you want, well then maybe for you it is it's the beginning and an ending. But the best way to look at it, being born again is the beginning, not an ending. Psalm 35, verse 27. God delights in the prosperity of a servant. A servant is one who serves obediently. If you're a servant and you're not serving obediently, my guess is you won't be a servant very long. Exodus 15, 26. As you serve God, he blesses your bread and water. None of these things have been canceled. They're all still true. So, what are the benefits? We're still in Deuteronomy, but now we're going to go back to the beginning of Deuteronomy 28. We looked at the curses. Let's look at the benefits. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and do. Again, see the hearken and do. If you hearken and do all his commandments, hearken means to hear, do means to do. If you hearken and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And he has done that. We are kings. You understand that he has already done that. We are kings. We're above all the nations of the earth already. That's why he's King of Kings. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake you if you shall hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. And then the next goes on to verse 14 telling you all the blessings. If you chase God, the blessings have already been commanded to chase you down. If you're a God chaser, then the blessings chase you down. And that's the benefit of obedience. The problem is people aren't perfectly obedient, especially under the law. So once a year, they had the sacrifice of animals to put on the mercy seat to cover over their sins, so they start afresh with their sins covered over to try to be obedient next year. Well, once and for all, Jesus took his blood, remitted our sins, so our sins are gone. Whenever we fall short, we confess our sins, we are washed clean, and we start over. But the entire idea is for you to use the wisdom of understanding what God wants for you, that his righteousness is inside you, that you need to work it out in sanctification, which requires obedience, and then you move into the fullness of your redemption. People have been saying for years, Pastor Joshua, you must have tremendous faith to be able to go over 4 decades without needing doctors or medicines or hospital. And I keep telling people, it's not faith, it's knowledge. The Bible does not say my people perish for lack of faith. They perish for lack of knowledge. And one of the knowledge they have, they fail to have, is understanding that being born again is the beginning of a journey which ends in complete redemption of your spirit, heart, soul, mind, and body, which is called being part of the church without spot or wrinkle, which is what we're called to do to usher in the return of Jesus Christ. And of course, it doesn't come through your discipline, nor your diligence, nor your self-control. It comes through letting the Word of God wash you, being washed by the water of the Word. It comes through the 5 baptisms. As you go through the 5 baptisms, you're allowing God to change each of your 5 parts. All we have to do is be that willing and obedient sacrifice, giving our bodies to God, and let him wash us clean of every sin, desire to sin, bad habit, and stronghold. He is the one who does it. We are the ones who have to be willing and obedient. Amen?
Amen.
So now we are talking about curses under grace. We are under grace. You think, well, curses under grace seems like a jumbo shrimp. They don't kind of go together, right? Well, we're under grace. The church age we are under is called grace. It's going to come to an end. Jesus says, seek me while I may be found. It's going to come to an end. We're under grace. Grace is God's help when we don't deserve it. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. All this which comes to us and belongs to us, you can terminate it anytime you want because you have free will. And every time we bow our knees to Satan and sin, everything is suspended, if you will. That may not be the right word. But for that period of time, you've opened up your protection. You have opened up your armor. You have broken the seal that's around you. Holy Spirit is still in you, but the seal of protection around you has been broken. And the curses can hit you. If that weren't true, people would be challenged with financial challenges and with sicknesses in their body. People tell me, how can a Christian have demons because they got the Spirit of God in them? And my answer is, how can a Christian sin if they got the Spirit of God in them? So if you sin, there's a curse. Every sin has a curse. If you sin, there's a curse. If there's a curse, the demons can attack you. So post-law is under grace for a period of time. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. The curse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So we're under grace, and Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through Him. So the blessing of Abraham, the promise of the Spirit, the land as promised to him, the empowerment, being above all the nations of the earth. The blessing of Abraham belongs to us. Most of us are Gentiles grafted into the family of Abraham. But whether you are a Gentile grafted into the family of Abraham, or whether you are a Jew, we both are relying on the grace of Jesus Christ. Because the Jews have two choices. They can continue to live under the law, or they can choose to come under grace. To come under grace, they have to accept Jesus as Savior, and become Messianic Jews. In Revelation 14, it talks about the blood being shed up to the height of horse, part of a horse, for 200 miles. And that's taught as part of the battle of Armageddon. Is that correct? Those are all martyrs. Those that's coming from the blood of martyrs. Primarily Jewish martyrs who are accepting Jesus at the last moment. Revelation 14 starts with an angel going over the world saying, preaching the gospel, saying, if you accept the mark of the beast, you will burn for eternity. And as the gospel is preached, and the persecution comes, there are many Jews that are going to realize that they rather that Jesus is the Savior, and they have to refuse the mark of the beast. And the country will be awash with blood. This is the message. We need to get out in great detail to the Jews. The curse again is shown in 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, because cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. He died on the tree that we should live unto righteousness. He took the curse so we could live unto righteousness. Because in righteousness you don't sin. And the curse is broken. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. No, the wages is part of the curse of sins. Jesus took the curse. He took the sins. Okay? so we don't have to die. Exodus 34, verse 7. Every sin has a curse down to the third and fourth generation. That was true then. It's still true today. Every sin you commit today has a curse. The fact that Christ has taken that curse for you is true. But just as Christ has died for every person on earth, and people are still going to hell because they don't know it, they don't accept it, they reject it, they go to hell. In the same way, he's taking the curse. But if you don't know he's taking the curse, and you don't believe it, and you don't declare it, and you don't confess your sins, that curse can still affect you. The remedy. Proverbs 26, verse 2 says, the curse causeless cannot come to rest. A curse cannot come upon you unless you allow it. Well, how do we disallow it? By confessing our sins. By coming under the blood of Jesus. By staying in the kingdom of God. By walking in faith. By not living by the law. All these are things we need to do so the curses don't come upon you. But the chief one is confess your sins. Remedy. Romans 6:11. Reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Romans 8:2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's where we are. Death no longer reigns. Death has not reigned since Moses. The law no longer reigns unless you choose to go under the law. Just like in this country, there is a separation of church and state. But churches can choose to give it up and go under the state, which is what they've all done when they became 501c3 corporations. They are no longer separated from the state. They've given up their right. In the same way here, we've been set free from the law of sin and death unless you choose to not believe it, unless you choose to live by the law, unless you choose to not live by faith, unless you choose to not confess your sins, unless you choose not to try to live a lifestyle of being willing and obedient. Romans 6 verse 2 puts it this way. Since you are dead to sin, heaven forbid, God forbid, you should no longer live in sins. That's clear. Just because you're set free from it, don't go live in it. I mean, if you got your garden free of the weeds, why would you go sprinkle seeds of weeds in your garden? 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee sins. Flee means to run as if in terror. Run from sins as if in terror because it's trying to kill you and kill your family. Flee sins. Run as if in terror from sins. The benefits of being under grace. Romans 8:15. You own everything which God has. That is, your joint heirs with Jesus. Your joint heirs with Jesus. You own everything he has. Well, isn't that prosperity? You have authority and dominion in three worlds. Philippians 2:10. You have authority and dominion in three worlds. You have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. 1 Peter 2:24. 2 Corinthians 8:9. You've been made rich by the poverty of Jesus. Those are some of the benefits. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah.